It's Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. There's crime in this hour. Later on, The Crime Club from 1947, but right now, an early broadcast of a series called Official Detective. This first heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System on February 17, 1950, called The Currency Exchange.
Official Detective, dedicated to the men who guard your safety and protect your home, your police department. Official Detective, presented in cooperation with Official Detective Stories magazine and starring Craig McDonald as Detective Lieutenant Dan Britt.
Lieutenant Dan Britt, headquarters. If there's anything the criminal hates more than a cop, it's an informer. But the squealer takes his chances. On one side of the scales is the money he'll receive for his information. On the other, his life.
Go on, Pete. Pick it up.
No, thanks.
You sound like you mean it.
I do, Manny.
What's the matter, Pete? I never yet met a guy that turned his nose up at $100,000.
You know what's the matter.
No.
We copped 500 grand on that job, Chris. 500 G's. It was supposed to be a three-way split. And 100 grand ain't one-third of five.
The way I figure it is.
You figure wrong.
Listen and get this straight, Pete. For your part in the act, you get 100 G's. The rest goes to me and Manny. 100 grand, Pete. Now pick it up.
Where's the rest?
I told you, me and Manny. Right, Manny?
Right.
You see? Manny ain't squawking.
But I am. I thought it was supposed to be a three-way split, Chris.
You thought wrong.
Yeah. You think I'm going to take this line down?
I don't know what you mean by that, Pete, but if you start any trouble, I'll lay you flat on your back. Right, Manny?
Right. But you said...
I don't care what I said. Now, look, Pete. You want it straight, I'll give it to you straight.
Do that.
Manny and me pulled that heist, no thanks to you.
What do you mean?
Just what I said. You were just a lookout. It was Manny and me went in the currency exchange. It was Manny and me did the dirty work. We shot up the guard. We took the risks.
I still say knocking off that guard wasn't smart.
Point is, we had to. It was him or us. So all in all, Pete, me and Manny figure we did most of the work. And that's why we're taking a bigger split. You ought to feel glad we're letting you have even 100 grand of it. Now take it. Or leave it.
Okay. I'll take it.
Smart.
But I don't like it.
Tough.
I'll see you guys later.
Where are you going?
Out.
Manny.
Huh?
I don't like his attitude. Tell him. See where he goes.
Sure.
I got it, Joe. Lieutenant Britt.
Hello, Lieutenant. Wendy Clark.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Not bad. You?
Oh, working as usual.
Anything new on that currency exchange robbery?
Not a thing. The guard died in the hospital. I suppose you know that.
Yes, I heard. Look, Lieutenant, if you do get a lead, will you give me a break on it?
You know you're my favorite reporter.
Thanks, Lieutenant.
Right, Wendy.
Wendy Clark?
Yeah, nice kid.
Well, I suppose he was asking about the exchange robbery.
And so's the commissioner.
Well, we know as much now as we knew 2 days ago, which isn't much.
Something will break, Joe. It's got to.
Miss Clark?
That's right.
I'm the guy that called you on the phone. I figured this place was good as any to meet.
It's not exactly high class, but I've been here before.
Now, listen,
I... What is...
Beer. What'll you have?
Another coffee.
Beer and coffee. What's your name?
Call me Pete.
Pete what?
Just Pete. Can I trust you?
I've come this far without getting you into trouble. Now, what's all the mystery about, Pete?
That currency exchange job the other day.
What about it?
I hear they're offering 25 G's reward.
That's right.
I'd like to get that dough.
Oh, easy enough. You can lead the police to the people responsible for the guard's death?
I can't.
You kidding?
No, I ain't kidding.
Who did it?
Not so fast.
There's some strings attached.
Yeah, a few.
All right, I'm listening.
Here's the pitch, kid. I'll make it short and plain. I had something to do with that heist.
You were in on it?
In a way. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't no killer. I didn't bump that guard. I was against it from the start.
No doubt. Go on.
Here's my angle. If I start talking to the law, I put my own neck in the noose.
I don't see how you can avoid it.
I know. I ain't arguing that one. But I don't want that noose tightened up. Know what I mean?
No. And I don't see where I fit into this either.
Look, Miss Clark, you got a good rep in this town as a police reporter and a person. The cops like you. They trust you. Guys like me, we like you, too. You ain't never crossed any of us yet.
Never mind the flattery.
Now, you got influence with the law.
Now, wait a minute. You want me to speak in your behalf? If you turn in the rest of the crowd, you want to be sure of leniency from the court. Is that it?
Yeah. You got it. And another thing, the reward. I want a guarantee on that. Maybe they'll send me up, but I want a guarantee on that reward. 25 G's. Well, what do you say, Miss Clark? Think you can swing it?
I don't know. Lisa and I get along, but I'm not sure we get along that well.
Look, kid, you got nothing to lose. Everything to gain. The story. The exclusive. Probably a raise. Why, I'd even give you part of the reward if you want.
No, that's not necessary.
Well?
I'll see what I can do, but don't count on anything.
Oh, thanks, kid.
Meet me at the office tonight, I'll...
Office? No, nothing doing. It's too risky.
Well, all right. Here's my home address. Come up about 8. I'll let you know what happens.
Good. Look, Miss Clark, don't cross me, will you? I'm dealing with you because you got a good rep, and I think I can trust you. Don't let me down, will you, kid?
I won't let you down.
Well, it's good to see you, Wendy. Sit down.
Thank you, Kenneth.
Oh, what's on your mind?
The currency exchange robbery.
I told you earlier today we have nothing new on it.
But I have.
What do you mean?
I talked to somebody a little while ago. Somebody closely connected with the man who pulled the robbery and shot the guard.
Who?
He didn't tell me his name.
You mean you talked to him, saw him, got information from him, and you don't know who he is?
That's it.
Look, Wendy, what's this all about?
Hold on, Lieutenant. Don't hit the ceiling. It's one of those deals, that's all.
What deals?
This person was in on the robbery. I don't know how much he had to do with it, but he was there. Now, the point is, he wants to turn informers, but he wants a deal.
From the DA?
Right. Now, I don't know the district attorney that well, and you do. You think you can talk him into something?
I doubt it.
Well, you can try.
Maybe.
This certain party wants a good slice of leniency and a guarantee on the $25,000 reward.
He's not asking much, is he?
Well, sure, it's a big price, but look what he's giving in return. The people who pulled the job, killed the guard, and possibly most of the money.
Uh-huh. Now, what's his name, the guy you spoke to?
I told you, I don't know.
Come on, Wendy.
He put his trust in me. He didn't have to. The least I can do is play ball with him.
What about me?
If you play ball with us, you can crack this case. Nothing to lose and everything to gain.
You've got me on a spot.
Oh, what do you say, Lieutenant? Will you go along?
I'll see what I can do. But I can't promise anything.
Well, and, Lieutenant...
Yeah?
Don't have me shagged, huh? Just trust me.
If I didn't trust you, I'd have you locked up. Now, get out of here, Wendy. I've got work to do. With the DA.
Hello, Manny. Where you been all afternoon?
Failing Pete, like you asked me to. He's up to trouble, Chris.
Yeah? Well, spill it.
Well, first he goes to Casey's Tavern over on Carver.
Yeah, yeah, I know where it is. Get to the point.
Well, he meets a dame. Good-looking dame, too. Talks to her.
About what?
I don't know. I couldn't get near enough to hear him without him seeing me. But I asked around, see? Who do you think the dame is?
Come on, Manny.
Wendy Clark. Crime reporter in the Trib.
That double-crossing punk.
Oh, that ain't all. He's up there now.
Up where?
That dame's place over on 32nd Street. I tailed him. Went up about 15 minutes ago, 8 o'clock.
That punk figures to cross us. I can see that much. Come on, Manny.
Where to?
The dame's apartment. And bring your rod.
Toss a match, Joe.
Sure thing.
Thanks.
So, the DA is going to play, huh?
Yeah, he said he would.
How far?
If we nab the killers, and if this guy of Wendy's is telling the truth about how much he had to do with the robbery, then the DA is willing to ask the court for leniency.
What about the reward?
Company said they're willing to pay it.
Hmm. You told Wendy?
Yeah, phoned her about an hour ago.
Yeah, it's 8:30 now. When will she get back to us?
Sometime tonight.
I hope it pans out.
You and me both.
But if you ask me, Wendy's the one who deserves the reward.
Yeah. Match, Joe.
I just gave you one.
It didn't take.
And then what did you do?
Went back to the place.
On Cressy Street?
Yeah.
The money's there now?
Yeah. $400,000.
Is it in a bag or something?
Chris's suitcase.
Including your $100,000?
Uh-huh. Only why I trust him with it, I don't know.
You'd better stop worrying about it. Money will have to go back to the exchange. All of it. But you say $400,000. I thought it was $500,000.
No, we only got $400,000.
I think
anything
we
else you want to know?
Got it all. As soon as I arrange these notes, we'll run down to headquarters. Then I'll get the story over to the paper.
Think this will work out?
Why shouldn't?
I mean the DA. He won't cross me, will he?
Don't worry so much. Oh, excuse me. Yes?
Back up, sister.
Wait a minute.
Back up.
What's this all about?
Shut up.
There he is, Chris.
Chris, listen. Listen.
You punk. You dirty, lousy punk!
Oh, Chris, don't! I swear, Chris, I didn't...
Shut up! Oh. Bring the girl over here, Manny.
Move, sister.
I'd still like to know what this is all about.
And I'd like to know what Pete told you.
I didn't tell her nothing, Chris. I swear,
shut
I
up.
Did...
How many times I got to tell you?
Take a look at this.
What?
These papers. Interesting, huh?
Let me see. Yeah, you've been working hard, haven't you, sweetheart?
I always work hard.
Two copies, too. Oh, well, the whole inside story here on paper. Manny's name, my name. Even Pete's part in it. How we pulled off the job, where the dough is, everything. Nice, sweetheart. Very nice.
Thanks for the compliment.
But it'll never see the front page. Right, Manny?
Right. Chris, I didn't tell her nothing. I swear, Chris, I don't...
You lousy crossing punk.
Chris, wait!
What's your name, Chris?
Get away from that door. I'm telling you.
Too bad. He wasn't a bad-looking kid.
There's the fireplace, Manny. Burn these two copies.
Sure.
Then we'll scram this place.
Oh, you're forgetting something. That $100,000 we gave Pete is in his pocket.
Get it. You can't use it now.
Morgue wagon's on the way, Lieutenant.
Uh-huh.
Emmy said he'd have the slugs for as soon as possible.
Okay, Joe.
Ah, snap out of it, Lieutenant. Come on now.
She was a fine girl, Joe.
Yeah, I know.
I'll get the punk who did this.
Sure. Print boys are working, but I doubt if they'll get anything.
Make them try hard.
The guy's name was Radin. Pete Radin.
Don't know him.
A couple of things in our files, but not much. Small-time crook.
I wish I knew the names of the rest of the mob.
I wonder if he told Wendy anything about this.
Hard to say, but he probably had. That's why she got it.
Want to take a look around?
You go ahead. I'll go back to headquarters. If you find anything, let me know.
Check.
How many times do I have to call?
I heard you.
Start packing.
Packing what?
Our clothes. What do you think? We're going to blow this town. Now snap it.
Sure.
Come in, Joe.
Well, we went over the apartment. Didn't find much.
Anything at all?
Yeah. Evidently, Wendy had written the whole story in outline.
How do you know?
We found some charred papers in the fireplace. Most of it wasn't legible, but there was enough to tell us what it was about. She had made an original and one copy. Got it all on one page.
Killers probably found them, burned them. How much of the story was readable?
Not enough. No names except Pete Radin's. No addresses.
Uh-huh. An original and a copy, you said?
Yeah, why?
Come on, Joe. Let's take another look at that apartment.
How you doing?
Okay. Got any more shirts to go in here?
Yeah, one or two.
By the way, where are we headed?
I figure on Florida.
Now that sounds great. It's nice and warm down there.
I'll get it. Yeah?
Your name Marvin? Chris Marvin?
Yeah, why?
I'd like to talk to you.
Sorry, fella. I haven't got time.
I'm sorry, too, but I'd like to talk to you.
Sure. What do you want?
I want you, Marvin, and this guy here. Name's Manny Klinger, right?
So what?
So you're both under arrest.
Listen, I don't get this. What are you trying
to... Name's Britt, Marvin. Lieutenant Britt.
Cop?
Yeah.
You got a warrant?
Search and arrest.
What are you searching for?
Number one, a bag. A bag that should contain $500,000. Two, a gun, caliber .38.
You got no 500 G's.
I'll take a look anyway. If you don't mind.
And we got no gun either, copper.
Sorry, I can't take your word on it. Now, let's look around.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
What's the charge?
Two charges. One, robbery. Currency exchange a few days ago. Two, murder. Triple murder. The exchange guard, Pete Radin, and Wendy Clark.
I don't know anything about any of that.
Cut it, Marvin. I know the whole story.
Yeah, who told it to you?
Wendy Clark. Clark.
Wendy Clark?
No. She didn't come back to life, Marvin. But before she died, she wrote the whole thing down on paper, as Pete gave it to her. Everything about the robbery, where the money is, who shot the guard. Everything.
Nuts.
Don't get cocky, Marvin. Sure, you think you're in the clear because you burned those two copies of the outline she wrote. You did a good job, too. But you forgot something.
Yeah?
There were two copies, all nice and neat. But two copies mean carbon paper. That's what you forgot to burn, Marvin. Wendy used a fresh carbon on that story. All we had to do was hold it up to a mirror and read it. See it now?
So what? Just because a dame said...
That's only part of the evidence. The rest will back it up. When I find a gun and the bag with the money, you won't have a leg to stand on in court.
I guess not.
And don't try a break, Marvin. That goes for you too, Klinger. Got a bunch of boys with me. They're outside in the hall. You two step outside to take in.
Sure, just let me change my
car. Don't reach for a gun, Marvin.
I only...
Do I have to tell you twice?
No. No, you don't have to.
Everything okay, Lieutenant?
Fine, Joe. Clean these two characters. We'll take them in.
You have just heard Official Detective, tense dramatic stories of criminal investigation starring Craig McDonald as Detective Lieutenant Dan Britt. Here's important news for truck owners. Ford truck prices have just been reduced. Remember, Ford trucks cost less because Ford trucks last longer. Latest available registrations prove it. Why not see your Ford dealer tomorrow? Official Detective is presented in cooperation with Official Detective Stories magazine. If you've enjoyed tonight's story, you will find many more stories of equal appeal in our February issue, now on sale at your newsstand. Sergeant Joe Allen was played by Lawson Zerbe, and Chris was Joe DeSantis. Wendy was played by Margaret Draper, Pete was Milton Herman, and Manny was Sandy Struss. Official Detective is produced and directed by Wim Wright, written by William K. Wells, Jr., with special music by Chet Kingsbury. All names of persons and places used in this program are fictitious. Any resemblance to names of actual persons, living or dead, is coincidental. This program came from New York. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Official Detective on Tuned to Yesterday from the 17th of February, 1950 on Mutual. You're listening to an hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now an episode of The Crime Club, the last in a series of broadcasts that began on December 2nd, 1946 and wrapped up with this final show. Each week, the Crime Club librarian introduced a new mystery story, typically taken from the Crime Club magazine produced by Doubleday. Even one of the earliest crime shows in radio, the Eno Crime Club, took stories from this publisher's imprint as well, so they did go through a screening process before making it to air, not only from the producers, but readers. This story, called Cupid Can Be Deadly, closing out the Mutual Broadcasting System series from October 16, 1947.
The Mutual Broadcasting System presents...
Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. Cupid Can Be Deadly. Yes, we have that story for you. Come right over. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable? The manuscript is on this shelf. Here it is. Cupid Can Be Deadly. The very unusual story of a dream that was made of the stuff that killed. Let's look at it under the reading lamp. The house in the hills of Westchester was big and rambling, like a medieval castle. And it was owned by the beautiful and temperamental Linda Barry, the celebrated actress. It was late Saturday night, and Paul Palmer, a Broadway columnist and one of the weekend guests, came quickly down the stairs. And as he made the right angle turn toward the library, he met Professor Caldwell, a psychologist, and another one of the guests.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Palmer. I didn't hear you coming.
I'll walk on my toes. Have you seen Toby?
Toby?
Miss Randolph.
Oh, yes. No, I haven't seen her in quite a while.
Where can that girl be?
Have you looked in her room?
Just now.
Well, I'm going out for a drive with Sam Winslow.
That phony private detective?
I'll look around outside if I should see Miss Randolph.
Yeah, tell her about me.
Well, of course. In the meantime, you might ask Miss Barry.
Where is she?
In the library. Now, if you don't mind.
I don't.
Well, thank you. I asked Mr. Winslow to be ready in 10 minutes. It's almost that now. Well, good luck, Mr. Palmer.
Why don't I stay home for a change? Paul. Linda, have you seen...
Yes?
What's the idea of the gun?
You'll find out.
Oh, the lady's mad.
You've got no idea how mad, honey.
You're sizzling.
Don't be clever.
I can't help it. Give me the gun.
No.
Give it to me. You can sizzle without it.
You had no right to do that, Paul.
Oh, it's done. Shall we go before an arbitration board?
You keyhole peeper.
Oh. Oh, a big one for my column.
Linda Barry slaps a guest in her own house. And who was that guest? Your Broadway reporter.
That ought to make me the toast of the world. You can go home now, anytime you want.
Wait a minute.
I haven't got time.
We'll give it to you. Who was going to get that bullet?
Take your hand off that door, Paul.
Was it going to be your manager and half a heartthrob, Wally Brooks?
Paul?
Ah, then it was for the other half a heartthrob, Sam Winslow.
No.
You'll have to suck me again, honey. You're not leaving this room until... Oh, the lady's smiling.
Oh, you're such a fool.
Don't tell the guys in the other papers.
That bullet was for your girlfriend, Toby Randolph.
No use trying to talk me out of it, Wally. I'm going to get away from this place as soon as I can find Paul.
All right, Toby, you want to go, you can go, but why?
I don't like it here.
Meaning me?
No.
The house?
No.
Professor Caldwell's been lecturing you about the mine.
He doesn't bother me, Wally.
Then it must be on account of Sam Winslow.
Well...
That no good for Fletcher,
he's not the reason, Wally.
Oh?
I can handle him.
Say, you're not running away from Linda, are you?
I am.
But why?
I don't like the way she creeps up on me.
That's too bad, honey.
Huh?
See what I mean?
Walking in the garden, arm in arm. But a rosy picture.
What's this all about, Linda?
I'll bet you couldn't find such a beautiful setting anywhere. Even the moon is perfect tonight.
What on earth are you talking about?
Excuse me, Wally. I'm not sticking around to find
you're
out.
You're sticking around, Toby.
Hey!
And you're going to find out how I really feel about you.
Let go of my hair!
Linda!
You're not going to leave this place alive!
Let go of her, Linda!
You keep out of this, Wally! Oh. Get her out of my hair. She's killing me.
I said let go of her, Linda.
Ow!
Let go.
You're breaking my fingers.
Oh,
no. I'll break them, Linda, if you don't get your hands off.
All right. Let go of me.
Now.
Thanks, Wally. Now I'll give her a sample of my brand.
No, you don't.
But she got me from behind.
I don't care how she got you. But I want to know why. Well, Linda, why?
Nobody's making a fool out of me.
Nobody has to. What's that?
That's enough.
Just let me get at her. I'll show her how to pull hair.
Stop it! That goes for both of you.
Listen, Wally, anytime we need a referee...
Shut up, Toby. Stand over by that tree.
What about her?
I'll take care of her. All right, Linda. How is Toby making a fool out of you?
She wouldn't leave you alone.
What?
From the minute she got here with Paul, she's been trying to get her claws into you. And you left.
Are you nuts?
You didn't do a thing to stop her. I've been watching you. Both of you.
You are nuts.
It took you a long time to find out, Wally.
Shut up, Toby. Stay that way until I got this thing settled. Now, Linda, since when do I have to sign the book every time I look at another girl?
If you only look.
There's nothing between Toby and me. She's got Paul, and from what I know, she's completely satisfied. Am I right, Toby?
You're right.
Yeah. But you are not completely satisfied with me, Linda, are you?
I never said I was.
Well, you never had to. We've been engaged for exactly 1 year. How many protégés have you had in that year?
Don't be low, dear.
Five. And now it's that cheap chiseling Sam Winslow, a private detective, the worst of the lot.
I like to help people.
Sure, but why are they always men?
Coincidence.
Oh, cut it out, will you? You're not talking to someone behind a bib.
Darling, I didn't know you were jealous.
I'm not. I've never said a thing to you about any of them, but every time I look twice at another girl, you're at me hammer and tongs. You're...
Wally, there's a third party here. Can we wait?
No, I don't care who's listening. I'm fed up and I'm through.
Yes?
Yes. You can get yourself another manager, too. The less I see of you, the better.
You're raving.
We'll see about that. Come on, Toby. Let's find Paul and get out of here.
I'm on our way.
Just a minute, Wally. You're not walking out on me.
Save your breath.
I said you're not, dear.
Listen.
When there's any air to be given, I give it. And, Wally, I'm not giving you the air yet.
You don't seem to get the idea, Linda.
I happen to like you, darling. Enough to marry you tomorrow. If you either marry me tomorrow, or you go to prison.
But what's that?
I'll repeat it for you. Slowly.
What have you got up your sleeve?
He ate the trump, and it's been there for a long time.
Okay. Show it.
You're a thief, Wally.
What?
And I'm the only one who can keep you out of jail.
You'd better start explaining, Linda.
All right. If you don't mind the crowd.
Well, let Toby hear it.
You've been forging my name to checks.
Have I?
$70,000 worth. You know my signature, and you've been doing a perfect job.
Where are those checks?
You'll see them in court.
I'll see them now. Where are they, Linda?
Oh, stop it. You're twisting my arm.
Come on, baby. Produce.
You'll never get them, Wally. You can kill me, but you'll never get those checks.
Time, Professor. What kept you?
I didn't realize you were waiting, Mr. Winslow.
You said 10 minutes, didn't we? I've been sitting in this car for 20.
I'm sorry, but I met Mr. Palmer, and he was agitated about the disappearance of his lady friend, so I thought...
Tried some psychology,
huh? Not quite. I looked around for her just to be helpful.
You're the type, aren't you?
Well...
Yeah. Okay, let's go for that drive.
Mr. Winslow, would you mind if we didn't?
What's the idea?
It's rather late, and I can talk to you here just as well.
Okay.
It's about... Well, I think you know.
Me and Linda?
Yes.
You don't approve?
Miss Barry is my patient. Her welfare is my concern.
I'm not good for it, huh?
I think you ought to leave at once. I'm sorry. I was only trying to relieve a delicate situation. Miss Barry and Mr. Brooks are engaged to be married.
I read that in Paul Palmer's column a year ago.
They should be married, Mr. Winslow. But as long as you're in the picture...
Stop right there, pal. If Linda wants to wash me out, she can do it any time.
Well...
The fact is, she wants me in. So, that's where I stay.
Would you marry her? You won't. You don't love her.
No, I'm not exactly indifferent to her charms, Professor.
She has a lot of money.
Well, you catch on fast, don't you?
Suppose I were to tell her that.
You want to live, don't you?
Mr. Winslow, are you...
You want to go right on psychologizing dames for big fat fees? You can't do that when you're dead.
You're not threatening me, young man. I know Miss Barry has given you money. And I know that she's made you the beneficiary of one of her largest life insurance policies.
You know a lot, pal.
I also know that you've been poisoning her mind against Mr. Brooks. But you'll never get another chance. When I get through telling Miss Barry the truth about you...
Nice speech, Professor. Now take a deep breath.
What?
Hold it. Hold it. It might have to last you a lifetime.
Here's your room, Toby. Good night. I'll see you in the morning.
Paul, I don't know why I listened to you. After what Linda said and did to me tonight...
She's a crackpot, but she's loaded with material. At least 2 columns out of 1 weekend.
All right. But I don't like the idea of sleeping in her house.
Good night, sweetheart. Pleasant dreams. What's the matter, Toby?
Don't ask me now. Just let me in.
Wait a minute. I'm getting my bathrobe.
Would you please hurry?
I'm doing the best I can. Getting into a bathrobe takes time. All right.
Oh, Paul, darling.
What's the matter?
I had the most awful dream.
What?
I dreamed I was Cupid riding a black horse.
Toby, do you realize it's only 5 o'clock in the morning?
I couldn't sleep a wink after that. Every time I closed my eyes, there was that black horse. And Linda.
Oh, my aching life.
It was terrible. I was sitting on the horse and I kept shooting arrows into her heart.
Yeah.
Poisoned arrows. Every time I took one out of the quiver, I dipped it into a bottle of cyanide that was tied around the horse's neck.
Go back to bed, sugar. What you need is some sleep.
But I can't.
Darling.
Paul, you've got to help me. Let's go down to the living room.
But, honey, why?
That's where the dream took place.
You expect to find a black horse down there?
I don't know what I expect to find. But if you don't come with me...
Get that look out of your eyes, Angel.
Paul, I'm desperate. I've never been so upset before.
Now, take my arm, Cupid. We're off to catch a dream.
I wouldn't bother you ordinarily.
Sometimes I wish you would. Hunting we will go. Hunting we will go. Watch your step with theirs.
Thanks. I could only be as calm as you.
My arm would feel fine.
Hmm?
You're digging your nails into it, and it's not even responsible for your dream.
I'm sorry.
I'll bet you are.
But I am.
You never liked this arm anyway. Now, tell me the truth.
Oh, that light.
Where?
Under the living room door.
Okay. So you're crazy about my arm. Stay here.
Oh.
Do you want to get knocked down by a horse?
Going with you.
Good Lord.
Linda, on the floor, with an arrow in her chest. Killed her, Paul. Don't try to tell me I didn't.
You didn't.
Oh, what the use you'd say anything to make me feel good?
Now, listen, honey.
I'm a killer, and no amount of coaxing is going to convince me that I'm not.
But dreams don't make murderers.
How do you know I was dreaming?
You said so.
Maybe that's what I thought, but actually... Goodbye, Paul. It's been nice knowing you.
Where are you going?
The police will have to know about this, and I'm going to phone them.
No, you're not. Put it down, Toby.
I've got to give myself up.
Okay, then I'll put it down. Sorry, your hand is in the way. Now, you'll do me one favor. Don't tell anyone about your dream.
We're going to have the police in on this, aren't we?
Sure, but not until I've got you straightened out. Come on.
Where?
Out for a walk. Let somebody else
find... Good
morning. Huh? Ah, Professor Caldwell.
Up bright and early, aren't they? I always say there's nothing like the country air to... Good heavens. Behind you, Miss Barry.
We found her that way.
Narrow in her chest. Her pulse. Mr. Palmer, do you realize she's been murdered?
I'm beginning to.
Who did this?
We don't know.
I did, Professor.
Toby.
You, Miss Randolph.
You'd better send for the police. I'll tell them everything.
Well, as long as you've gone this far, why not tell it to Professor Caldwell? He's a psychologist.
Is this a problem in psychology?
She had a dream.
It was more than that, Paul. I saw the whole thing. The living room, Linda, and I was shooting arrows into her heart.
But you were riding on a black horse. Professor, do you see a black horse in this room?
Very, very interesting.
She was also dressed up as Cupid.
She was?
Forget it.
Hmm. Miss Randolph, you had a dream in which you saw yourself as Cupid murdering Miss Barry?
So I thought.
But there was no romantic conflict between you and Miss Barry?
Who said there wasn't?
Toby, for Pete's sake.
Let her talk, Mr. Palmer.
She'll hang herself.
We'll see about that. Go on, Miss Randolph.
Last night, Linda accused me of trying to take Wally Brooks away from her. We had a hair-pulling match.
Amazing. The most unusual dream coincidence I've ever heard of.
Professor!
Now, don't be alarmed, Mr. Palmer. This young lady is quite innocent.
You mean it couldn't have happened as I told it?
Certainly not. You're not Cupid and there's no horse. But...
Yes?
Well, on the other hand, Miss Barry is dead. There is an arrow through her heart. This young lady is quite innocent.
You mean it couldn't have happened as I told it?
Certainly not. You're not Cupid and there's no horse. But...
Yes?
Well, on the other hand, Miss Barry is dead. There is an arrow through her heart. That can only mean that if you're guilty, Miss Randolph, then you must be a man.
Oh, good Lord.
What now, Toby?
Paul, as a child, I used to walk in my sleep regularly.
You don't care what you do to yourself. Listen, Professor, I've got an idea.
I'm afraid we need one, Mr. Palmer.
If you hypnotized Toby, we could really find out what you did last night, couldn't we?
We could.
All right. Then hypnotize. Sit down, Toby. We're going to work.
But, Paul, I told you...
I want to know the truth. And I've got it.
You mean I don't have to be hypnotized?
No. All you've got to do is remember what happened after Linda pulled your hair last night.
She...
What you told me just before you went to your room.
Wally said he was through, and you... Of course.
She accused Wally of forging her name to check.
Mr. Palmer, do you realize what you're saying?
I'm saying what Toby said Linda said. And she was there. Come on. We'll ask Wally.
Don't knock yourselves out, Kitty.
Sam.
Yeah. I bet she never expected to die that way off stage.
How long have you been here, Sam?
Not long enough to embarrass anybody. Why?
What made you come down? It's only 6 o'clock.
I get restless sometimes. Why?
You've got a reputation for waking up with a dinner bell.
Oh. You think it was me, huh?
It could have been, Mr. Winslow.
I'm going to hear from the professor.
Mr. Palmer, this man is the beneficiary of a $50,000 insurance policy taken out by Miss Barry.
Well, I'll be...
Not anymore, Toby. Okay, Sam. You tell me.
I had influence with the babe. I was her type.
That's not telling me that.
She hired me to find out where her dough was going. Checks she didn't remember signing. Then she took a shine to me. What was I going to do?
Now, listen,
that's exactly what I did. After I found out who was signing those checks was Linda's Johanna Hancock. It was her boyfriend, Wally Brooks.
I know all about that.
Great. Now, here's something you don't know. Where's Wally?
What?
His room's next to mine. I heard him going out about 10 minutes ago. That's what woke me up.
That's ridiculous. Mr. Brooks has a car in the garage, and we heard no car.
There it is, Professor. Well, what do you say, Paul?
They'll send for the police. They know all the answers. Oh, well. How about some breakfast, Toby?
No, thanks, Paul.
It'll be an hour before we hit New York, and I... Well, look, there's a nice quiet place just around the next intersection. The food's good.
I don't feel like eating, Paul.
What's the matter with you?
Why didn't you let me tell the police about my dream?
Oh,
it's that dream again.
I killed Linda.
Listen, honey, the police know how to analyze a crime, and they suspect Wally.
Just because he disappeared.
He didn't take a thing that belonged to him, not even his socks.
It doesn't prove he's a murderer.
He's been forging Linda's name to checks, and she found him out.
He wouldn't have killed her for that. She was ready to marry him.
Now, listen, honey.
I won't. Wally's not a killer. And I don't believe he was ever a thief.
But the police found the checks.
Oh, what's the use? You've made up your mind to cheat the law, and you don't care who dies, as long as it isn't me.
You don't know what you're talking about. And I'm going to prove it once and for all.
If you only could.
We'll turn around, and then we'll hit right for police headquarters.
Why?
In your dream, Cupid was dipping the arrows into a bottle of cyanide.
Yes?
So far, there's been no mention of cyanide by the police or the coroner. I'm going to insist on a lab test of the arrow point.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But while that's being done, Angel, you keep your mouth shut about that dream. Understand?
That's a very unusual request, Mr. Palmer.
I'm an unusual guy, Captain.
Yeah?
You read my column?
Sometimes.
And you want to know how I work. I do a thorough job on everything and everybody.
Yeah?
Captain, it wouldn't take much of your time to do a lab test on that arrow. Please.
Why should you be interested, Miss Randolph?
Well, you see...
Frankly, I don't.
Paul, I'm going to tell him.
Colby.
I can't live with it anymore. I've got to talk.
You've done too much already. Let's get out of here.
Now, wait a minute. She's got to talk, and I'm here to listen. Go ahead, lady.
I think I killed Linda Barry.
Uh-huh.
Paul and Professor Caldwell have been trying to tell me I couldn't have done it. But I know differently.
Sure. Here's a pencil and some paper. You write it down.
Nothing doing, Captain.
Now, you stay out of this, Mr. Palmer.
But you don't understand. You can't take a confession from her.
You wait outside.
Oh, for Pete's sake, why don't you listen?
Outside, mister.
All right. But you'll never convict her. She claims there was cyanide on the tip of the arrow.
There was.
What?
Here's the coroner's report.
Good Lord, but she only dreamed about it.
Now, listen, you. If you make one more attempt to influence this lady,
I've got to use that phone.
Are you getting out of here?
Yes, yes, but let me call Professor Caldwell, the psychologist. He's an expert on dreams.
Call him from the other room.
Okay. But hold up that confession until he gets here, will you?
The other room, mister. Now, here's the door.
Thanks for the assist, Captain. I never would have made it without your help. Hurry up, hurry up.
Hello?
Now, Professor Caldwell.
Yes?
This is Paul Palmer.
Oh, Mr. Palmer, I'm so glad you phoned. How soon can you get here?
No, I can't. I want you
but
to...
But you must. Mr. Brooks came in a few minutes ago.
What?
And without a word of warning, he began to beat up Mr. Winslow. If you don't get out here as soon as you can, there'll be another murder in this house.
Wally? He came back?
Please, Mr. Palmer, as soon as you can.
It'll take me at least 15 minutes.
That won't do any good.
It'll have to. Now, listen, Professor. Don't let Wally get away. I wanted to meet a certain captain of the police with a first-hand story of why he disappeared.
Is that you, Mr. Palmer?
It's me, Professor. Where's Wally?
You said you'd be here in 15 minutes. It's more than half an hour since you called.
I had a flap. Where's Wally Brooks?
We took him up to his room about a half an hour ago.
You took him up?
He means we dragged him up.
Sam, what are you doing on your feet? But, Professor, you told
me... It was phenomenal, Mr. Palmer. I went back to the living room after I spoke to you, and there was... I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I was standing, and Wally wasn't. But I thought that
So it seemed, sir. He took me by surprise, but all I had to get over was one punch. And when that was settled...
Okay. Let's go up and have a talk with him.
If he's conscious.
Sam, don't flatter yourself. You don't hit that hard.
My pal.
Not by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh.
Professor, would you say that Sam is human?
Definitely not. A species of two-legged animal. If I had my way,
Which you haven't. Okay, we'll settle this later. Listen, Wally.
Hey, what do you know? The guy came too.
Not so as you can notice it.
Well, we left him on the bed. If he didn't come too, how'd he get in that chair?
Come here, Professor.
What seems to be wrong, Mr. Palmer?
Check him. I've got an idea. He's dead.
Dead? Mr. Winslow.
Now, don't look at me. I couldn't have killed him with one punch. I don't hit that hard.
He is dead, Mr. Palmer.
Now, wait a minute.
Shut up, Sam.
How can a guy tell without a stethoscope?
Mr. Brooks has no pulse, and there's no action in his heart that I can hear.
Let's call a doctor.
I am a doctor, Mr. Winslow. My specialty happens to be psychology, but that doesn't mean that
Never mind that, Professor. I know what killed Wally.
What's that?
Poison. From this tiny bottle.
Bottle? But I don't see
it. He's clutching it in his hand, and he's got a grip on it I can't break.
Leave him alone, pal. The guy committed suicide. I want the cops to find that bottle in his hand.
But I've got to know whether it contains cyanide. Come on, Professor. You should know how to flex muscles.
I'm afraid it would be impossible in this case, Mr. Palmer.
Why?
Obviously, rigor mortis is set in.
I'm not giving up. If that bottle contains cyanide, then...
What did you say, Professor?
Rigor mortis, Mr. Palmer. The rigidity of the muscles that occurs after death.
Yeah.
Sam, close that door.
What's the idea?
Close it. I want to ask the professor a few questions with no way out.
Okay. Got me guessing, Ralph.
Mr. Palmer, what is the meaning of this?
I'll let you know, Professor. Sam, get on that phone. Call the Medical Society of New York.
What?
Don't look so dumb. Ask them if they got a member by the name of Professor Caldwell. What's your name, Professor?
You're very clever, Mr. Palmer.
It's about time. But it didn't take you long to get that gun out of your pocket, did it?
Does it matter?
Why did you kill Linda?
She made a startling discovery.
The checks were forged?
They weren't forged, Mr. Palmer.
Now, look. Oh, no. I see what you mean. She signed them herself while she was under your influence.
Hey, what goes with this guy?
An electric chair, Sam. He's a phony psychologist, and Linda was one of his patients. Each time she came to his office, he got her just in the right mood to be hypnotized. Then he'd tell her to write a check and sign it. They were all made out to cash, weren't they, Professor?
Of course. And she cashed them for me while she was in that right mood.
But why did you kill her?
I told you.
Can't you figure it out, pal? She accused Wally.
But suppose she had the guy arrested. You think DAs are dumb?
No.
They investigate everybody. And what do they find out? This guy's a phony doctor.
Yeah. Remind me to like you the next time we meet.
Thanks. Now, Professor, about Toby. You hypnotized her, too. And you induced her to have that dream. Why?
The young lady was a perfect subject after her quarrel with Miss Barry.
But how did you get to her? I took her to the door of the room and I saw her go in.
She came out later. The poor child was very disturbed. Naturally, she needed attention.
Dirty hypocrite.
Take it easy, Paul. The gun.
Yeah. You changed your mind about Toby, Professor, when Wally disappeared. When he came back, you set him up as the perfect suicide.
It's quite simple. Such an easy way out. No trial, no investigation. The suspect committed suicide. Q.E.D.
Q.E.D. Well.
Yeah. So that's why you tried to get rid of me, Professor.
I think I'll go now, gentlemen.
You didn't want a private detective around while you were fixing a murder and a framer.
Goodbye, Mr. Winslow.
You even tried to put the framer on me. You know, Professor, that makes me mad.
Really? Would you like me to put you out of your misery?
I'm standing here by the door, Professor. If you want to get out, you'll have to come through me.
You insist on being a fool, don't you?
No, Professor.
Mr. Palmer.
Present. You shouldn't have forgotten about me, not even for a minute.
You're a bad psychology. Hey.
Paul, I'll take the gun.
I'll take it, Sam. One more twist.
All mine. Now, Professor.
I have nothing to say to you, Mr. Palmer.
He doesn't like me, Sam.
Oh, I'm sick about it. You think I ought to kill myself?
You're a hard nut to crack, chum. Okay, you take one arm and I'll take the other. We'll give this guy a lift down to police headquarters. That won't be exactly psychological. Hunting we will go. Hunting we will go. Yeah? Yes, Toby?
How did you decide that Professor Caldwell was the murderer?
He said rigor mortis.
Yes, that's what you told me before, but how did you really decide?
Wally couldn't have been dead more than half an hour. Rigor mortis takes from 6 to 8 hours to set in. Any doctor knows that.
Any real doctor. But what made Wally so rigid?
Hypnotism.
Hmm?
Did you ever see people hypnotized?
Several times, but of course. Their bodies become so rigid they couldn't even be bent.
There you have it.
Thanks, I don't want it.
Death doesn't relax those muscles. They stay that way.
I still don't want it.
Mm. You're hard to please, young lady. What do you want?
Would you really like to know?
Sure.
I want something to eat. I'm hungry.
And so closes tonight's story, Cupid Can Be Deadly. Stedman Coles wrote the radio script. Roger Bauer produced and directed. Sidney Smith played the part of Paul Palmer. Virginia Dwyer was Toby Randolph. Cameron Prudhomme was Professor Caldwell. Helen Shields played Linda Barry. Larry Haynes was Sam Winslow. And Shirling Oliver was heard as Wally Brooks. Oh, I beg your pardon. Hello. I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is a crime club. I'm the librarian. Next week? I'm sorry, we won't be here next week. No, this is the last program in the current series. Yes, we're sorry, too. Of course there'll be something here next week. Racket smashers. Yes. At the same time and over most of these same stations. You'll be listening? Fine. I'll tell them to look for you.
This program came from New York. This is the last broadcast in the current Crime Club series. In its place, the Mutual Broadcasting System will present the exciting real-life crime drama, Racket Smashers. Don't fail to tune in at this time next week over most of these stations for the true criminal cases of Racket Smashers. Stay tuned now for another mutual favorite, Quiet Please, which follows in just a moment. This is the world's largest network serving more than 450 radio stations, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Crime Club, on Tuned to Yesterday, the last broadcast in that about-year-long series from October 16th, 1947, on the Mutual Broadcasting System. And so closes this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.